calming the storm outside the boat was not as important to Jesus as addressing the storm of the hearts of the disciples inside the boat.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. We're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Central North Carolina in a series that we've titled Peace in a Pandemic: The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus. Obviously, in the current situation that this whole world is going through, church has had to pivot in general, and especially with the way we worship together, and in most cases, quite virtually. So we're bringing you this very timely series preached just weeks ago by Pastor Alan to his home congregation. We trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you to give you strength to endure. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now. Again, very timely for our current situation. It's a CD audio album called Growing Deep in Times of Stress, and these are stressful times. It can be yours for your donation this month to Sharing the Light. As you listen to today's message on the pandemic, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now let's get started with today's teaching, Peace in a Pandemic. Here is Pastor Alan Wright.
Fear causes them to see the storm in a way that is just not accurate. They think the storm's going to get worse, we're going to die. And Jesus doesn't care. Jesus is awake now, speaks in Matthew's telling of this to the disciples first. Why are you afraid? But then he uses this phrase, you of little faith. And in Greek, it's one word that means, well, it just means little faith ones, little faiths. And you almost think, well, is he really condemning them here, judging them? He says, why are you afraid, little faiths? But as Charles Spurgeon shares in another instance where he references them as little faith ones, there's another way of looking at it, and that is the Savior did not say, oh, you of no faith, or you of pretended faith, but oh, you of little faith. If we could, Spurgeon says, only have our master's assurance that we have even a little faith, if he does but acknowledge that it is faith, then the root of the matter is in us. I'd rather have great faith than little faith, but I'd rather have little faith than great presumption. Why are you afraid? You have little faith. What is going on with Jesus' question? Is he condemning them, or is there something else going on? I can't say this for sure, but Jesus is fully God and fully human, and in my reading of the Gospels, it seems like to me that there are clearly times where Jesus is just surprised. As a human, He didn't know everything. As God, he's omniscient. But as a human, he didn't know everything. And I think there were times that he realized ministry was going to be easier than he thought. And I think there were times where he realized it was going to be more difficult. And this is one of those moments where I think he said, why are you afraid? I think it was because he was genuinely surprised. I mean, you think, well, how could that be? Well, have you ever had something in your life where you're really good at it and maybe other people aren't so good at it? Some skill, some ability. I mean, just it could be a little thing. Like, ever since I was a kid, I'm a pretty good speller. I never would want a championship spelling bee or something like that. I'm not saying I was an incredible speller, but I see words, and if they're misspelled, I can pretty quickly tell that word's misspelled. There are not a lot of times that I'll misspell a word when I'm writing a document. And so it surprises me when intelligent people misspell things. I look at it and go, why can't you recognize that that's misspelled? It was so funny. We homeschooled our kids, and when our son Bennett was coming along through elementary elementary school especially, but maybe a little bit even into middle school. He was such a bright kid. He's such a bright guy. He's graduating from Duke Law School this weekend, and he's so bright, and he's such a smart kid. But he just wasn't that good at spelling. And I got kind of worried about it. My wife, who was an elementary school teacher, said, don't worry about it. It'll improve. And we had him tested, and he was actually kind of on grade level, but compared to other abilities, the spelling was bad. I remember in particular a paper he wrote on the Civil War, and all throughout that paper, he spelled civil about three or four different ways. It was just how he's writing it, where he came to it, just like he felt like spelling it with an A right here, I'll spell it with an A. If it's spelled with an E, I'm going to spell it with an E. It just whatever mood he was in, I guess, at the moment. And I look at that and it's like, well, how can you just misspell a word? But then I got other things in my life where it's like, I'm just terrible at it. And one of them is like jigsaw puzzles. We go on family vacations and other family members want to set up a jigsaw puzzle and work the puzzle on vacation. And they say, come over and help us. I say, no, I'm on vacation. I don't have to try to work a puzzle. I can literally stand over the puzzle and stare at it for 15 minutes and get nothing. Nothing. And other people come up and they say, oh, here, put that piece in, put that piece. And they look at me and they go, well, why can't you work a jigsaw puzzle? So you could imagine that maybe Jesus, the way he saw a storm, knowing that he, the creator of the ends of the earth, was going to calm the storm, that of all the things he could understand, and the Bible says he was tempted in every way that we're tempted, that maybe in a real way he didn't understand this. He didn't understand what it feels like to have very little faith. Why are you afraid, little faiths? So Jesus looked at the storm so differently. How did Jesus see the storm? I'd sum it up this way, as an opportunity to take a nap, and maybe more than that, an opportunity to gain glory and to build faith. People ask me over and over, how have I been throughout this whole pandemic and what has it been like? And I, honestly, the first couple of weeks, I'd like to say I didn't worry, but I worried. I lost some sleep. And then I moved into a phase I'd say was just working hard, still working hard, but just like, okay, we'll just work extra hard. We'll make it all happen. So I kind of worried and then I worked. But in the last week or two, it's finally begun to dawn on me that despite all of the horrible suffering, that God, who didn't send this disease, is nonetheless gaining glory through it. And I guess it partly dawned on me when Easter week, and we put our worship service on video, and that morning, nearly 5,000 households watched our Easter service and worshiped, which is remarkable given that when we are meeting together in person physically, we may only have 1,000. And we had five times a meeting, but then we also made this available through social media and through our platform that has a radio ministry, Sharing Light Ministries, through Pastor Chris's podcast platform, Everyday Exiles. We put it all out there. And by the end of Easter week, listen to this, by the end of Easter week, 85,000 households had viewed the worship service. And I've been reading, there have been some congregations, large congregations. I read of one this week had 1 million views of a recent worship service. There is a very real chance. I wish somebody could do the study on this and find the facts to make sure it's right. But I imagine that more people heard the gospel this Easter in that week than ever have in any given week in the history of the world.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, You don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
God cares about every bit of the suffering. God's a healer, and He cares. But I'm beginning to understand that storms, if seen from Jesus' perspective, are an opportunity. Opportunity for the glory of God, and opportunity for us to grow. Opportunity for miracles to take place. When you look through Jesus' eyes, you'll also see that the storm is something He knew was temporary. He knew that He was going to calm the storm. And I think a problem for us so often is we feel like the storm is something that is here and is going to stay here. But Jesus is quite aware that in a moment, with just a spoken word, with just a word from His mouth, a word of authority is going to come forth, and it's just going to be a word of rebuke to that storm. And it's the same word Matthew uses, speaking of rebuke, that Jesus used, that was spoken of to cast out a spirit. Just that powerful, just in a moment, as soon as it arrived, as soon as that, as Jesus spoke, it was going to be gone. He had complete authority. And I think He invites us to get His eyes to see His authority over all the storms in our lives, to see the authority of God, and to know just a word from Jesus is all it takes. Have you ever had somebody stand up for you when you were afraid? You ever had somebody speak to your storm who had authority to do so? It's wonderful. Some of you have heard me tell this. I'm so embarrassed, to tell it. But when I was a kid and I was old enough that I should not have gotten afraid, but I did get afraid. So I was embarrassed that I was getting afraid. And I don't know why I had gone, because I hate these things and don't ever go to them. But we'd gone to a haunted house at some Halloween thing. And I was going to the haunted house with my big brother David, and he's kind of giggling at different stuff. But for some reason, Frankenstein decided to follow me around. I cannot remember how old I was. I wasn't 5 or 6. I mean, I'm older. I remember thinking I shouldn't be afraid. And I know Frankenstein's not real, but Frankenstein kept following me around. Every corner, he'd jump out, boo. He'd bother me. And until finally, I just was really afraid. And I love my brother this day, David. I love him to this day for doing this. Finally, because David was tall. And he was taller than Frankenstein. And I remember finally he just saw, I was afraid, and he just turned to Frankenstein and he said, "Leave my little brother alone, man. Can't you see he's scared?" And Frankenstein backed off. I'm just so happy that he did that for me. Just one word out of his mouth, and Frankenstein was gone. Jesus understands that storms are temporary because He's got authority over the storms. Just like a word, and it's gone. This storm will end, and whatever storms you face, they will end. Well, there's a third and really important way that Jesus viewed the storm, and this is clear from the story. It's of secondary importance. Calming the storm outside the boat was not as important to Jesus as addressing the storm of the hearts of the disciples inside the boat. That's what He cared about. What really mattered ultimately was the state of their souls, the real storm was the one brewing inside their fearful hearts, and that's the way it is for us too. When Jesus arose, having slept in the lower part of this boat, one thing is for sure. Jesus knew that this was a reenactment and a fulfillment of a story in the Old Testament that the disciples also knew. In the scriptures, you have Old Testament stories and prophecies that are pointing ahead to the coming of Jesus. And Jesus looks back on those stories often and describes himself as the fulfillment. The story of Jonah has amazing similarities. Let me give you a quick recap. Jonah, who was running away from the Lord as a prophet, he was running away from the Lord. It was on a boat, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. And then the ones he was sailing with, the mariners were afraid, and each cried out. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. It's uncanny, the comparison, isn't it? And at verse 6, the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper?" So they're even coming to Jonah the way the disciples come to Jesus. "Arise and call out to your God." And then at verse 12, Jonah said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you." And so they do. They throw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Following this, of course, the Lord appointed this great fish that swallowed up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus references Jonah in an instance in his life and said in Matthew 12, "For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And Jesus said these exact words, "Behold, something greater than Jonah is here." He was saying, "I am the new Jonah. The real Jonah has arrived." Because everything in these stories is the same, Jonah and the storm on Galilee, even to the point of Jonah sleeping in the belly of the ship, the boat, and Jesus sleeping, and the fear and the waves. But the one thing that doesn't happen in Jesus' story on the Sea of Galilee is they don't throw him overboard in order to calm the sea. And Tim Keller speaks about this and says, it's because Jesus came to calm the true storm, the real storm with which none of us can deal. And that is the storm of impending judgment. Because justice must be done if this is a just world and God is a just God. Sin must be punished. And so the real storm is the guilt of our hearts, the shame of our lives, and the feeling of condemnation that we will forever live under, knowing all of our flaws and failing, knowing that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, knowing that there's no way that we can get ourselves into right relationship with God by any of our own righteousness, knowing that there is no way that any religion could build a ladder tall enough to reach God, knowing that we are forever separated from God unless He does something. That's the real storm. That's the storm no one could save us from. And so Jesus wasn't thrown overboard on the Sea of Galilee. Instead, He went to a cross and was buried into the tomb for 3 days to die for us. The secondary issue is the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The primary issue is the love of God for these human beings and His desire that their hearts be not afraid, but that they know, that they know, that they know He loves them, and that He is the master of the wind and the waves, and that all things are possible, that He has come to save them in a greater way than they had come to know yet when they were in a storm at sea. So in the storms of life, if you will just ask Jesus, how do you see it? I think he'll show you, and it can correct your vision. I want to show you our little optical illusion again, because I couldn't believe it. I don't know about you. I couldn't believe it. I had to actually get out some rulers, and I'll do it for you, rulers, to prove that these lines, that line, they're actually perfectly parallel. Now, I mean, I had to do it. All right, I'm going to prove it to you. Okay, here goes first yardstick, bottom of, it's just hard to get it right there at the bottom of the image, and then I'll put another one right here at the bottom of this one. And once you do that, you start going, wait a minute, they are parallel. It just was a trick of the eye. It just... When the complications all around it make it such that you can't see the reality, it reminds me of the way life is, that storms can skew our vision. And yet Jesus is in the boat with us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. When Jesus looks at the storm, he sees it very, very differently than we do. It's an opportunity. It's just temporary, and it is secondary to the most important matters of life, and that's the gospel.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching is Eye in the Storm. It's from our series, Peace in a Pandemic, The Power of Seeing the Crisis Through the Eyes of Jesus, most recently preached virtually at his home congregation. Pastor Alan is back with us here in just a moment with our final closing thought for today. Stick with us.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. And we're happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. I'm back with Pastor Alan now in this series, Peace in a Pandemic, and we have scrambled to get this on the air. These are very recent messages that you have preached in the middle of the pandemic, virtually to an empty room. And this one, His Eye in the Storm, I mean, if we've ever faced a storm, especially together in the same boat, it's where we all are in right now, certainly this was timely.
We are in the same boat, aren't we? And here's the good news. Jesus is right in the boat with us. You have a perspective. I have a perspective. We all have our perspectives. But what we're learning about is getting Jesus's perspective. Some things we see, we think we see it accurately, and we don't. You know, I think Jesus, sometimes Daniel maybe was genuinely surprised. Maybe he, as a human being, didn't know everything, and maybe he was just surprised. And when he said, why are you afraid? Maybe he's wondering why don't you know, just didn't understand maybe. How could they not trust that the creator of the universe is here in the boat with them? But he is in the boat, and he's sleeping because he's not worried. The fear of the disciples seems to be more on Jesus' heart than the storm. He speaks to them, and then he speaks to the storm. And I think Jesus wants to speak to our own hearts. However this storm is affecting you, whether it's affecting your health or your business, or even in the saddest of cases, has caused you grief by the loss of someone you love, whatever it might be, I want you to know Jesus cares. He's in the middle of the storm with you, and he'll never leave you. And in a blink of an eye, in just the whisper of his voice, he can silence any storm. So I'm praying that the knowledge of Jesus being with you will sustain you when the waters get rocky.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.